Yours is freaky.
Freaky, yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah, people are now moving.
I kept going into AD because I was on the A question. I find it very difficult to go in.
Very, very quickly. Went straight to AD. Okay.
For a long time, I didn't go to AD.
Okay. So that's probably what you do is that you talk to yourself about the way that you feel. As in, you're kind of like commenting on your feelings, which is fine. That's something that quite a lot of people do, but it does keep you out of them. Which, you know, obviously, as far as bad feelings are concerned, being dissociated from them is a good thing. But if you're doing it all the time, it also means you're not fully into the good feelings either. So, like, you win on one side, but you got the downside on the other side of it. I don't know. There might be some unresolved negative emotion in the past for you, which, if you were to heal it over time and therapy, then it would be okay for you to fully access kinesthetic. So, check it out after time with time and therapy. Yeah.
David, as Paul and I were working together, I certainly found that Paul's assignments were quite subtle.
Right.
And we're back to the central position pretty quickly.
Right.
Whereas mine took to kind of go up and sort of stay there.
Right.
And yeah. Well, I can remember, yeah.
Yeah, the ideal client, actually, for doing it. Yeah. Listen, yeah. You don't have to be quicker or anything. It's kind of like, you know, what was the career you grew up in?
Yeah, it was like that.
Okay, got it, thanks. Yeah. Any other questions about accessing that?
Has that got anything to do with whether you can actually switch off
I wouldn't say it has anything to do with like look to listen or look to talk rules. Just seems to be that some people, when they access the particular information, stay there, and other people kind of just go like straight in and then back into the middle again. And it's almost like they've gone and grabbed it, whereas some people seem to go and get it and they tend to stay with it, whereas other people just go like grab, bring back to the middle again. Yeah, Sandra.
Is there any work to show? I mean, if let's say you've been very short-sighted.
Right.
Whether you perhaps not go to visual recall as much.
I haven't come across anything, because we, even with people that are blind, and have been blind all their life, will still go to visual recall. So I haven't come across anything as far as that's concerned, as far as like being short-sighted, not going to visual remembered.
What's the actual theory behind the reasons why we're actually doing that, like to access this information, to do that?
If you look in Magic of NLP Demystified, yeah. There's actually, I don't think it's a whole chapter, but there's a couple of pages there about the eye accessing patterns and how they relate to the way that the eyes are connected up neurologically to the brain. Yeah, there is something in there about that. So have a read of that. I can't remember. Has anybody got a copy of the book handy? Okay. Can I just have it? Yeah, there's a diagram. Let me see if I can find what page it is.
So that works a conversion as well, for reaccessing these things, just to focus your eyes on particular locations might bring back instructions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, if, for instance, if you want to visualize something, yeah. It's easier to visualize it if you put your eyes up into visual. Yes, 113, I think it is.
Sometimes in terms of presentations, it works as well. If you're in a PowerPoint, you'll have to recommend to put things top left hand corner just to draw things up all the time.
So that's over there.
Yeah.
You know, our screen is over to the left and up, because for most people are normally organized. So what that means is that the screen for most people is in visual remembered. Which is where you want them to remember visual images. Flip chart is in your visual remembered. Yeah. But yes, it's 113, 114. That's all the stuff there about like how the eyes are connected up, because the eyes are actually crossed over. So the left eye is connected to the right hemisphere, and the right eye is connected to the left hemisphere. Just like the ears are actually crossed over too. The neurological connections for that are crossed over. Yeah. So there's some information in there as far as like. But it actually, and in the study of Huna, interestingly, there's a particular meditation technique, which is called Hiolani, which is a meditation on the light inside your head. And there's a chant, which we know is at least 700 years old, which actually the chant is about going into this particular Hiyalani meditation state. And what it actually says right at the beginning of the chant is that you close your eyes and you roll your eyes up as if you were looking towards the sky. And then you roll them over to the left, roll them over to the right, and then roll them upwards as if you're looking at the point between your eyebrows. So even at that point, we know it's at least 700 years old, they had an understanding then that putting your eyes upwards activated the visual cortex, which is interesting, which is kind of like, you know, predates NLP slightly.
Sorry, I'm back on yours again. Is there any relation, has there been any work to relate astigmatism, about astigmatism, with the ability to access all parts of your eye?
I haven't come across any research, and I've had clients and students with astigmatism. And what we found was that in actual fact, they still had the ability to access all of the all the areas of the eye accessing pattern and do all of the functioning that was there. In fact, there was the one particular student that I can't remember which eye it is now. So either left or right eye is permanently looking inwards to the nose and doesn't move. And when we went to the exercise, I'm thinking like, blimey, who's going to, like, this would be an interesting situation for their practitioner. And she sat down, she goes like, just use this eye, because this one doesn't work, this one doesn't move. And this eye did the perfect eye accessing patterns, and this one didn't move at all. Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting. Yes.
How is it that some people
I think we all have synesthesias. I think all of us have synesthesias, because a lot of the things that we do, we do it with synesthesias, things that we think the least about, things that are the most automatic. So I think we all form synesthesias. It depends what we use them for. So and across how many contexts we use them. So as an example, I tend to use a VK synesthesia in lots and lots and lots and lots of contexts. So it means that basically if I see something, I can get a feel for it straight away. So I'll look at something and I'll know if that looks solid. Whereas most people actually have to go up to it and check that it's solid. I can look at it and know it's solid. Just your experience as you develop, as you grow up, I guess. Well, you're not though, because you still visualize. So you have synesthesias, which is the reason why you didn't get the visual eye accessing patterns. You did other eye accessing patterns, but you were still able to see something, because there's no way that you could describe the contents of a room without visualizing. But what you did was, when you were describing it, is you were in AD, describing it, but inside you were also seeing it at the same time. But you can't see the two eye accessing patterns at the same time, because otherwise it looks like this. Yeah? So, goes Bo's eye, you know? That's auditory remembered, auditory construct synesthesia. yeah, it does, yeah. So what happens is that you only see one of the eye accessing patterns for one of the representational systems in the synesthesia, because you can't see both of them, because otherwise it'd be kind of like, oh? Yeah. So you do visualize. But it's because of the synesthesia that developed, we don't actually see certain of the eye accessing patterns that go along with it. Yeah, yeah. Because there's no way you could describe the content of a room without being able to see it. Yeah. Yeah. Maggie.
Seeing any movement
is... Oh, right, okay.
Which I felt that I was that they were moving.
Right. Some movements are, some eye movements are very, very slight. They're very, very small and they're very quick. And where you can sometimes get a bigger shift in the eyes in those situations is if you ask somebody a question that they're not expecting, as in you catch them by surprise, like that. Then what we got then was like a real clear auditory remembered eye accessing pattern. And it wasn't slight at all, it was right over here. Yeah, so that's the other thing. Obviously, when you're here, your client knows what you're doing. Yeah, so it's a little bit. So sometimes to get a real clear eye accessing pattern, you have to catch them off guard. when you catch them off guard, you get a real clear accessing pattern. But other times, their look to listen or look to talk rule so strong that unless you catch them off guard, you don't really see much difference. But in a situation out there where people don't know that like this person's eliciting my eye accessing patterns, then you tend to see eye accessing patterns far more clearly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
If someone's hooked on chocolate, would that be effectively like a VK anesthesia? See chocolate? Salivation?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Could be. Could be. I mean, I do know somebody who had a decision-making strategy which was a VK synesthesia. And as far as like foods is concerned, that's the seafood diet, you know. See it and eat it, you know, without even thinking whether you need it or not. But that would be a too big a generalization. Yeah.